You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. Andy Holding looking at eight races for you at Tipperary on this Sunday, October the 7th. We've got a mixed card for you. We've got some graded action over hurdles and over fences. Towards the back end of the card, we've got the Joe Mack Novices Hurdle at 3:45, along with the Like a Butterfly Novices Chase at 4:45. And that's not to forget the Horse and Jockey Hotel Hurdle at 3:15. The first three races on the card are all on the flat, and we've also got group action there as well. So a star-studded afternoon, sprinkled with a little bit of handicap action as well at 2:10 and 3:15, respectively. We start, however, with the two-year-old contest at 1:40, which should allow, to all intents and purposes, Edison a good chance to improve upon that first run at Garum Park back in the middle of August when he was third behind Giga Wide and South Pacific. Now, South Pacific has gone on to Frankner form subsequently with a good run down in the same track behind Stabber Companion Western Australia. And given that Dermot Wells Charge was having his first run that day when third behind Giga Wide, I'd imagine that he'd probably just be the to show a most and significant improvement this afternoon. That form of that race as well has been boosted by Trithias, the fourth horse, who went on to win a maiden next time out and lowering the colours of Pink Dogwood, and then subsequently finishing fourth in a Group 3 contest next time out. Dermot Wells had a bit of a cheeky season, it has to be said, but one or two of his two-year-olds look quite promising types for next season, including this chestnut by Lip de Vega. So Edison, fairly confident choice, I'd say, to go close there, around about the 3-1 mark in the opener.
Race 2.
On to the first of the competitive handicaps here this afternoon then at Tipperary, coming up at 2:10. It's a 0-100 mile one contest for the older horses. Quite a few of these have been in great form of late, none more so than Turbine, who always seems to be there or thereabouts. But he's had rather industrious time of it of late. He finished third in a hurdle race at Garran unbelievably yesterday, and he also ran on the flat in midweek. So it might well be that one or two runs are just catching up with him. Ozzy Valentine runs his track really well, and the soft ground will definitely suit him as well. But I'm a bit of a fan of this Alcatraz, who's been knocking at the door throughout the season. He's managed to win once at the Curra when he clocked a good time in July. But he ran really well last time out, finishing his race off very eye-catchingly behind Omran in a competitive handicap similar to this at Nace. It was a race, of course, Turbine was third in. I think with an extra furlong, he would have gone very close. And he's definitely worth more than a second look in the market. As indeed is Check Your Pockets at 20-1, who also finished off a race very, very eye-catchingly from the back of the field, having clipped heels early on and not really getting to the race. He chucked into the likes Prosecution and Band of Outlaws, who both won't mind the ground, and both come here off the back of good runs last time out. And it was really, really a tricky handicap. So I'm relying on that run the other day at Nace, hopefully to provide the winner in the shape of either Alcatraz or at a bigger price, Check Your Pockets.
Race number 3.
On to the 2:40 then. The first of the, the only group race on the flat today. It's the 2:40 over the extended 7 furlongs. And Imogen is going to be a warm order here, having shown bright form in the early part of the season. He hasn't been seen out since winning at Nace back in May. So there's obviously been a little bit of an issue with this fella. But you could argue that perhaps he's missed the middle of the campaign to avoid the fastest ground that has gone hand in hand, with this turf season. He's got a good run under his belt at Leopardstown when he split the very smart pair, Gustav Klimt and Kenya. And on the basis of that form, he probably is a worthy favourite here. But this won't be a no pushover against some of the older horses and indeed his counterparts. And Dan's Dream makes quite a bit of appeal also from the three-year-old category. Now, she really does love soft ground. Her best form is when there has been pensive dig underfoot. She was a bit disappointed last time out in the Group 1 behind Lawrence, but it was good to firm ground. But prior to that, she'd run really well over today's course and distance in a similar race to this behind One Master. Of course, it was the race that I Can Fly was a very unlucky and well-documented fifth, and she went on to win next time out in a group race at Leopardstown. Of course, ran well beyond Lawrence yesterday. So I think a reproduction, even, of that form would certainly give Dan's Dream a sporting each-way chance here. Ran about 8-1, best price this morning, so she'll do for me there.
Race 4.
Right then, turn to the jump racing, and we've got Grade 3 action to greet us at 3:15. Quite a wide open contest, I actually think. I'm not necessarily sure I want to take a very skinny price about Wicklow Brave, albeit he's been a model of consistency throughout his last three or four runs under both codes. Been very well placed, this horse. He's actually managed to win on the flat, and of course, he got a very easy walkover virtually at Lestal last time out. But the last time when he got taken on in a race of this nature, he got swallowed up in the latter stage. And it could well be that Dr. Mikey, the other obvious frontrunner, might just knock his nose out of joint here today at a skinny price. So it wouldn't surprise me if Tombstone was to run well here. Yet this horse has been plying his trade over fences for the back end of thick end of a year. He had a good first season over the larger obstacles, albeit he just came short of group and Grade 1 company. But he's always a useful hurdler. Don't forget, this horse is second in a Cheltenham Festival race over 2 miles. So he's not very short of speed. And with Gordon Elliott team in good form, this 8-year-old is certainly now back number. He's just the type I think could go well here. And he's ran about 7-1 this morning. Just wish there was an extra runner for three places, because I'd be very confident of him hitting the first three. I still think he'll do that, because obviously from a payout perspective, that might not help you if he does finish third. But I think he'll go well here at Tombstone today. The race should be set up for him, and I think he's a bigger player than 7-1 suggests.
Race 5.
On to the 3:45 then, Grade 3 action for the novices. This is an absolute belter, by the way, for those of you that haven't been keeping in touch with novice hurdle form over in Ireland. I can tell you that four of these are very, very smart, and it has to be said that Willie Mullen's got arguably a stranglehold on this race, or he's certainly got a very strong hand anyway. He's got Quick Graham, who was backed off the board first time out, and even though he was a bit sticky early on, he came through to win in the style of a very good horse. But he's up against a stabber companion in the shape of Dowell's Persia, who I don't think should be underestimated anyway, shape or form here. And I think around about 5-1 this morning, this gelding by Pastel Path will do for me at the prices. He was always highly regarded. He managed to beat Beautiful City a couple of starts ago in a Galway bumper, and that's very good form. And I thought he jumped with a plan the other day at Lestal. That was over 2.5 miles, but given the speed that he showed throughout there and the electricity that he showed over his hurdles, apart from the last when he dived at it, I think this horse is really underestimated here at 9-2. I'd actually make him very close to favourite here. I do think he's got a good engine. He's got a lovely way of going. The softest ground will definitely suit him. And with a lights-out ride from the front by Rachel Blackmore, I think she could get one or two of these at it. So at the prices, Dowell's Persia certainly makes the most appeal to me anyway in that 3:45.
Race number 6.
On to the 4:15. Got quite a strong opinion in this race here, even though it's a tightly knit and competitive handicap on paper. I'd certainly respect Manila Times and Stooshy, but this killed Dorrery is the one I quite like here from the Ted Wallstow. Now, he's a bit of a keen going top. I'm not necessarily sure he's a conditional jockey's ride, and Michael Stenson did really well to win on him the two starts ago at Kilbeggan when he dropped him out towards the back. He was very keen, but he came through and won very easily. Now, he tried to adopt the same tactics the other day on faster ground over 2 miles at Navan, and he completely got his sums wrong, because he just gave this horse far, far, far too much to do, and he was an eye-catching and never near a fifth at the end. But I think he's better than that. With a little bit more juice in the ground today, with a more emphasis on stamina, with a likely stronger pace courtesy of play the part being a front runner, hopefully this race will set up quite nicely for him. And he was priced up at 10-11-1 this morning, which I thought was way, way too big, given that I thought he was a bit unlucky the last day. So Kildorrery, I'd say really confident choice of him going well there in that 4:15.
Race 7.
Right then, on to the final of the graded races here this afternoon, 4:45. And once again, we've got Willie Mullins, who has got a very, very strong hand in this particular contest. But it might well be that Joseph O'Brien has the last laugh here with Le Riesberg, who has always been very highly regarded by Joseph. And he made a spectacular start to his chasing career at Listowel the other day, when jumping quite smoothly all the way through to beat Zavico Blue. I thought with quite a bit to spare. I think the step up in trip will definitely suit him. He seems to have a lovely way of going. And even though he's up against Robin de Ferre, who has been in very good form and also went at the Listowel Festival with a bit to spare, I think this horse has got quite a bit of improvement left in him, and I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. He's certainly got the size and the scope anyway to be a very good chaser further down the line.
And the final race.
On to the final race, then. This should be a penalty kick for Royal Rendezvous. You don't really need me to tell you anything more than the market suggests. Around about 4-9 this morning. He won by 23 lengths time out at Downpatrick. He never came out of a canter. And Paddy Mullins would have been embarrassed to take the riding fee for that particular horse. I think it'd probably be the same, very much the same again today. Callum River looks the obvious threat, having chased down a horse called Queen's Boulevard in quite a decent contest at the Listowel Festival, where the pair were well clear of the rest. And of course, this gelding managed to win at the Punchestown Festival as well. So he's certainly no back number, but Royal Rendezvous does look a class apart. And I think he'll take all the beating, as I say, the market suggests. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hope you can join me again tomorrow. I won't be doing a podcast for you because I'm actually going to be in the studio myself live, even though Tipperary's on in the afternoon, so you get a chance to see my or hear my views then. So until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.